Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nedarim is Nun Zayin. We're in the middle of the seventh parak of the Masechta, discussion that we've been having over the since we began the beginning of this parak, has been a question of neder and its coverage. What exactly does a neder cover? And we continue today with that discussion. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned Lezecha Nishmas, Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today fresh with a new mission on the top of the Amud. Konem peres elo alai, a person says that these fruit are going to be usher to me. Konem hein alpi, they are forbidden to my mouth. Konem hein lifi, or they're going to be a karban, a neder, for my mouth. The three different formulations. So what are we learning new this morning that we have not seen previously in the Masechta? Although we have seen, the truth of the matter is we have seen this Mishnah quoted earlier, but now we're learning the actual Mishnah itself. So what are we learning new in this Mishnah? Not only are you not allowed to eat this fruit, but you're not allowed to eat in exchange of this fruit, and you're not allowed to eat the growth of this fruit as well. And that's obviously a tremendous chiddush, meaning aside from the fact that these fruit are going to be prohibited, but moreover than that, if these fruit were exchanged for another fruit, so then the exchange is going to be forbidden as well. Moreover than that, is that let's say I took the seed of this fruit and put it in the ground and it grew something new, it was new growth, so that's going to be forbidden as well. That's a chiddush, that's obviously a novelty that we're learning together in this Mishnah. Right, that's absolutely the correct question. Where did that come from? What is happening over here? How come the exchange and the growth are going to be prohibited? So take a look at the Ran. The Ran identifies what is the key component of this particular neder that makes the growth and the exchange going to be prohibited. Let's see the Ran together inside. The Ran, the first Ran in the Mishnah, where he writes, Mishum, Dekevisha Parad Hadvarim and Ne'asar Malav. Over here, the Ran says that the key component is that you're mefarid. Mefarid means that you specified. And you said that these things are going to be usher to you. Shavina leke hekdesh. What you're doing is you're making it equivalent to hekdesh. You remember the Ran that we learned together in the very beginning of the Masechta, meaning day one. The Ran says that there are two types of hekdesh. Or actually, I should say there are two types of nedarim. Nidre iser and nidre hekdesh. Okay, our Masechta is dedicated to the topic of nidre iser. In other words, I make something prohibited to me because I made a declarative statement. And that through that declarative statement, I made it prohibited to me. It objectively is not prohibited, but I made it prohibited to me. This is what's called Nidre Isser. This is what we've been discussing since day one of our Masechta. And then the Ran points out that there's another type of Nedre, which is called Nidre Hekdesh. Nidre Hekdesh means that I make something belonging property to the Beis HaMikdash through my declaration. Obviously, it had to have started off as being mine, but what I did then is that I made it prohibited by making it property of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's Nidre Hekdesh. The Ran pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta, you want to learn about Nidre Isser, you open up the Masechta Nedarim. You want to learn about Nidre Hekdesh, you're in the wrong book. You got to open up Seder Kachim, and you learn Zvachim, Menachos, and right, Shavuos, and all the Masechta. Well, Shavuos actually is in Nezikin. Okay, anyway. But you learn the Masechtas over there in Kachim, and you learn about what it means to be Hekdesh. So over here, this particular Mishnah was like somewhere in the middle. Meaning, over here, you made a declaration, and you said, these fruit are usher. And as the Ran is going to articulate, and I mean, we'll see the Ran inside, but you pointed to these particular fruit. You said the word elu. You look at the Mishnah, right? You could highlight, according to the Ran, you highlight the word elu. These particular fruit. In other words, you're not making a neder against grapes in general. You're not making a neder against against figs in general. You're making a neder against these particular. So, for you, you're making it as if it actually is hekdesh. Now, the Ran is not saying that the items actually become hekdesh because, again, we're learning nedarim. But in terms of the definition of your neder or the ramification of the neder, it's going to be treated as if it's hekdesh. We know anything that actually belongs to hekdesh, you make an exchange for it, the kedusha transfers from the original item to the item that it was exchanged for. Is that also true by the gidulim as well? Is that true by the growth as well? Maybe not. But we're going to be discussing growth extensively over the course of today and tomorrow, and it'll go a third day from now as well. Okay. Yeah.
It's basically it's very important concept that basically my second and third concepts are not not the same as
right, correct. Right, correct. In other words, that's right. That the Ran made that point clear from day one of the Masechta. So over here, so again, let's read the Ran once again inside, because the Ran now is pointing out that even though we're still learning the Darim, and even though this is a Neder, but because he said the word Elu, it's going to be treated as if it's Hekdesh. Let's see it inside. I'm going to read it one more time. Mishim dekemesh apart ha-dvarim ha-nesarim alav shavinu aleha ke-Hekdesh. He made it as if, on himself as if it's Hekdesh. Mishim ha-chi mitzvah b'chlufim b'gudalayim. So the and therefore it's going to be prohibited both exchanges for these fruit and also growth of these fruit ki hecha dechilufe hektish v'gidulav asire, just like if it were actually hektish. Now it's not, but if it were actually hektish, just like the growth and the exchanges of actual hektish have kedusha, delo damil no destam minateinam minanavim. And over here, why is this different? So the Ran points out, because in general, what happens in the world of nedarim, you make an eder stam, meaning without being very specific, you said, that's it, I'm not eating grapes anymore. Or that's it, I'm not eating figs anymore. Shekev shelo parat, over there, in a quote-unquote normal neder, so to say, so you didn't specify, v'asar alav kol amen, and all you did was just prohibit the entire species, lo asam alav hektish. So that means then that you didn't make the fruit upon you as if it's actually hektish. The only thing you didn't want to do is you just don't want to eat grapes. So that's it, I'm not eating grapes anymore. Or I don't want to eat figs. That's it, I'm not eating figs anymore. And you say it, and you ratify it by making an eder. That's why in general, exchanges and growth are not going to be prohibited, because really all you're trying to do is just simply say, I'm not eating grapes. But over here, the Ran goes on to explain, you specified. You didn't just simply say, I'm not eating grapes. You said, I'm not eating these grapes. And you actually pointed to a bowl. And the Ran is going to give us other examples as well. You actually pointed to a bowl and you said, these grapes are going to be offered to me. And the Ran points out, it doesn't have to be specific to one bowl of grapes. You could say that I'm not going to eat grapes from Chile. Okay, that's it. The Chilean grapes are going to be prohibited to me through a neder. So, operos of Shaploni, or this person's grapes. In other words, as long as you specify not just the world of grapes, but if you specify specific grapes are going to be prohibited to you, since you specified hareu kaparet v'asa bechilufei muvugadolehem ukeshamo shenafarsh b'mishon shalafa nina b'siyata d'shmaya. Okay.
It's like red grapes.
All right. So in other words, that's good. In other words, what if he talked about a type but didn't specify any specific, right? From the Ran's perspective, it seems to be that the critical word in this whole discussion is the word Elu. In other words, it has to be that these grapes are going to be prohibited as opposed to other grapes which are fine. And again, so now the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that you can't eat neither the exchange nor the growth. Okay, that's the way the Ran sets up our Mishnah. Now, by the way, past the parenthetical note, there are other ways to explain the Mishnah. We are the way I'm presenting the Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara is only going to be through the viewpoint of the Ran. Okay, next let's continue in the Mishnah. Sha'ani ochel v'sha'ani to'em. Let's say he doesn't say the word elo, he just simply produces a quote-unquote standard neder. Let's say shani ochel, right, grapes are going to be prohibited that I eat, or shani toim or that I taste. Motabech lefem of gudolehem. So then the Ran points out that the exchanges and the growth of those grapes are going to be permitted, because the only thing that you prohibit upon yourself are just simply grapes in general. Now, bidavar shezaro kala. Now, again, when we're talking about growth, imagine what we're saying. Okay, you said that you're gonna prohibit these particular grapes. Good. And now, because you said these, in the first case of the Mishnah, because he said the word these, ha'elu, so therefore the grapes are going to be prohibited, exchanges for these grapes are going to be prohibited, right? That means that if I took, let's say, these grapes and I exchanged it for meat, right? We bartered, and I exchanged the grapes for meat, so therefore the meat's going to be prohibited as well. As if it were actually hektesh. That's exactly the point. And then also we pointed out in the Mishnah, even the growth. So that means, this is a big chiddush, if I took the seeds of these grapes and I put it in the ground, now what's going to happen? It's going to be a totally new entity. Vines are going to be produced from those seeds. The seeds are going to totally decompose in the ground. Vines are going to be produced, and new grapes are going to be produced. Those new grapes that grew out are also going to be asur as well. Once again, that's a big chiddush, but that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. If I said the word elu, then the Mishnah now is going to make a secondary point on this as well. And the Mishnah goes on to say, "Bedavar shezaro kala." That's only if, when the seed is planted in the ground, the seed totally deteriorates in the ground. It decomposes. Thank you. It decomposes. Avabadavar shezaro kala. However, if the seed doesn't decompose, afilu gidule gidulin asurin. So not only is the growth going to be prohibited, but even the growth of the growth is going to be prohibited. So for example, let's talk about a bulb. Let's talk about an onion bulb. So you take the onion bulb and you put it in the ground. So there's going to be new growth, but the original bulb is always going to be there. Under those circumstances, not only is the new growth going to be prohibited, but let's say I take that new growth and I make new growth out of the new growth, right? A secondary derivative of the original bulb that was prohibited. So under those circumstances, that's going to be usur as well. If the seed is always going to be extant, if it's always going to be there, so then the growth and the growth of the growth is going to be prohibited as well. Adkan Divrei HaMishnah, that is obviously now a chiddush compounded on top of another chiddush. The original chiddush is that the growth of that which is prohibited is going to be asur, and in the case where the seed is still there, even the growth of the growth. Okay. Right. So again, in this scenario, so it doesn't matter that it changed, it went through any type of change, it's going to be prohibited. Again, we're much discussed over here. When we get to the Gemara, we're going to be discussing even more on this point. Okay, continuing in the Mishnah, Homer lishto kone masi adech alai. Man says to his wife that that's it, I'm not going to get any benefit from you, and I'm going to make a neder that masi adecha, that which you produce is going to be prohibited to me. We already discussed previously, back in Masechta Ksuvos and earlier in Masechta, right, that which she produces is a davar shelo bala olam, it hasn't yet been produced yet. How can he make that asur? The neder is going on an object. It cannot go on a future entity. Ein adam osur davar shelo bala olam. So, as we already pointed out earlier in the Masechta, it could be that what he's doing is he's making her hands, and the neder is going on her hands, and therefore anything which is created through her hands is going to be prohibited. Anyway, it can be done. So a man says to his wife, "Konin masi adecha alai, that which you produce is going to be prohibited to me." Konin hin alpi, konin hin lefi. And again, the Mishnah goes through the different permutations of how you can make the neder. Aser bechilufei muvegedulehem. So once again, so since he's pointing to that which her hands are going to produce, so that means that what her hands actually produce is considered now growth, and like we learned previously in the Mishnah, and like we're reiterating, so therefore the growth is going to be prohibited as well. Shani ochel, shani toem. However, if the way the neder is formulated is that which I eat, that which I taste, muter bechilufim of a gedelayim. So therefore, that which he produces is going to be aser, but in exchange or the growth that comes out of it, so that is going to be that's going to be muter, because again, the way that the neder is formulated in the second version is that I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to taste it, but if it's exchanged or if you make new growth, so then it's going to be permitted. But Davar Shezaro Kala, and the Mishnah goes on and repeats what seemingly now is a superfluous point. It's repetitive. The Mishnah then goes on to say, this is only talking about where the seed totally decomposes. Aval Davar Shezaro Kala, however, if the seed doesn't decompose, afilu gidula gidula nasurin, so even the secondary growth is going to be asur. The Ran is bothered by the fact that the Mishnah already made that point previously in the Mishnah. Why would the Mishnah have to say that again? So see the Ran inside. The Ran produces a secondary chiddush in terms of what we gain from this repetition. I'm not going to go through the Ran right now, but you see the Ran inside, and he tries to explain why it is that the Mishnah seemingly repeats itself. Okay. Sha'ato se'eni ochel ara Pesach. Again, don't ask me for motivation. I don't know why the husband is making this particular neder, but he says that anything that you produce, I'm not going to enjoy until Pesach. Sha'ato say eni mitkase ad Pesach. Anything in it, I'm not wearing until after Pesach. Okay, again, I don't have the backstory. I don't understand what's driving this, what's motivating this guy. But basically, he says, look, anything you make, I'm making a limited neder. So the chiddush in the Mishnah is that such a neder works. In other words, it's a neder with a built-in finish line. So asa solif ne pesach mutala cholis kasos achra pesach. So under these circumstances, even if she makes it, if she manufactures it, produces it before Pesach, so obviously based on his neder, he can't eat or wear it before Pesach. But once Pesach comes around, so that's it. The limitation, his built-in limit to the neder would now allow him to eat it or to wear it after Pesach. Sha'at osa ada Pesach, eini ochel v'sha'at osa ada Pesach, eini mitkaser. Now in the second formulation of the neder, so now he's not capping the neder. He's just simply saying that if you cook anything, or if you manufacture any clothing before Pesach, I am not benefiting from it, period. In other words, here, all he's doing is he's just simply making a condition within the neder. There's no limit in terms of when, how far the neder is going to extend. He's just simply saying the condition. The condition is, if you make anything for me before Pesach, you cook something for me, or you knit something for me before Pesach, so that's it. I'm not benefiting from it, period. If it's after Pesach, so then fine. So the Mishnah goes on to say, "Sha'ato se'ad Pesach en mitzkasa asos alifnei Pesach asolah cholitz kasos achra Pesach." I'm sorry, achra Pesach. So if she makes anything before Pesach, so then he can benefit from it even after Pesach as well. Okay, "Sha'at nenefli ad haPesach im holeches at leveisavicha ad achag." Okay, this sounds a little bit strange, but if you remember, we did this Mishnah much earlier in the Masechta. We quoted this Mishnah much earlier in the Mishnah. And this particular neder goes as follows. You're not going to get any benefit from me until Pesach if you go to your father's house until Shavuos. So in other words, basically, neder with a condition. Okay, we've seen many of these earlier in the Masechta, and for whatever reason, again, I don't know what the motivation is, other than the fact that maybe, whatever, he's obviously not pleased with his in-laws, so he says that you're not going to get any benefit from me through Pesach if you go to your parents' house, to your father's house, until Shavuos. Ha'chol ifnei Pesach, asur bein hanasa ada Pesach. So now, if she goes before Pesach, so she'll be prohibited from benefiting until Pesach. La'achra Pesach, b'val yachel. If, however, she goes after Pesach, so then she'll be in violation of val yachel, because again, retroactively, she'll be tripping the condition of the neder, and therefore making the neder enforced. She'as nenesli ad achag imalechas at leves avicha ad Pesach. Here in this inverse scenario, so we're now on the top of Nunzayin Amud Beis. So the neder is that you're not going to get any benefit from me until Shavuos if you go to your parents' house until Pesach. So here the condition obviously will terminate before the actual before the condition will terminate before the neder actually does as well. So hachlef ne Pesach asur benaso ad achag umuterse lechachar Pesach. So here obviously because the condition is that you cannot go to your parents' house before Pesach. So if she goes before Pesach, she trips the neder. Now the neder is in force. Once Pesach comes and goes, so then she's fine. So then she can go to her parents' house after Pesach, because the condition is just simply you can't go to your parents' house until Pesach. Once Pesach comes and goes, so then she can go to her parents' house. Right, odd, right, unclear, right, fair point. Unclear to me whether odd means up to and including or up to but not including. That's a classic discussion in the Gemara.
This is not a situation that somebody is prohibiting something to somebody else. I mean, she's benefiting. He's establishing the benefit of the wife, not to himself. I mean,
no, but his neder is
neder that's affecting somebody else. getting a benefit for herself.
Well, his neder is that no, his neder is that you're not going to be benefiting from me. Now, there, again, the discussions that we've had constantly throughout the Gemara is, there's a shibud, he has an obligation to provide for her, so what exactly is he prohibiting through the neder? Okay. And those are discussions that we've had that we've seen earlier as well. Okay, Adkan, that takes us through the end of the Mishnah. Okay, obviously the big point in the Mishnah, the big topic of discussion is really the first chiddush within the Mishnah. Within the first chiddush of the Mishnah, so we learned that if he prohibits something to her, so then not only is, and he says the word elu, these items, so not only are these items going to be prohibited, but also the exchanges, and on top of that, the growth is going to be prohibited as well. And this is going to prompt a big discussion. We're going to start the discussion today, and this discussion is going to continue well into tomorrow. So what we're going to do now is we're going to just start the discussion today, and obviously tomorrow we will get much more into it. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, but really the truth of the matter is that the Gemara now is going to start a new topic. Yishmal ish kfar yama, v'amela ish kfar di yama, hela biyado batzel shi kara b'shvias. Okay, the story starts off with a onion where it took root during the Shemitah year. And he takes this onion, but not to b'shminis, and he plants it during the eighth year. Okay, happens to be that we're learning this Gemara in a very timely place, because right now, as we approach now the end of the Shemitah year, so if you have an onion that grows during the Shemitah year, so what becomes of this onion? So we're not talking about somebody who planted it. Planting it is a isodaraisa. We're just simply talking about where it takes root and it grows wild during the Shemitah year, which certainly could happen. So what becomes of this onion? This onion now has kedusha shvius, it has the sanctity of the seventh year. What does that mean? So it means a couple of things. It means, number one, that the only thing that you could do with such an onion is that you can eat the onion, but you can't do commerce with the onion. You can't get other forms of benefit from the onion. The only thing you could do with this onion, you can eat it. It has kedushas shvius. Also, another ramification of the fact that it grew during the seventh year is that there's what's called biur. Beer literally means that at a certain point in time, the onion needs to be destroyed. Although, as we've gone over a number of times, basic machlokas amongst the Rishonim, exactly what beer means when it comes to Peir Shvius. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that you actually have to destroy it, as the word beer indicates. That's, you know, think about your chametz on Pesach, right? Beer chametz means you have to destroy it. So some are of the opinion the same thing was true with Peir Shvius. It has to be destroyed, and others of the opinion, no, that's not what happens with the Peir Shvius. Rather, just hefker. You just have to declare it ownerless, even after you've collected it and brought it into your home, which you're perfectly within your right to do. But at a certain point in time, i.e., when the season is over, when it's no longer when the season out in the field is over, so beer just simply means that you have to declare it hefker. You have to declare it ownerless. In Eretz Yisrael nowadays, so they take the more lenient approach, and what they do with Peir Shvius is that they, right, and they do this in Eretz Yisrael now, is that when the season is over, and for every fruit, there's a different chart. It gets a little complicated in Eretz Yisrael. But for every fruit, there's a different chart. There's a different point in time. They make announcements in Eretz Yisrael. And so what you do is you take your box of oranges and that have Kedusha Shvius, and you put it out on the curb, and you say, whoever wants to can take it. And then if nobody comes and takes it, then you can actually bring it back into your own home. Okay. Anyway, this is all a ramification of fruit that has Peir Shvius. Your srogim that you buy this year, just as a parenthetical note, the srogim that you buy this year are going to have Kedusha Shvius. They're going to have the sanctity of the Shemitah year. They grew in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. So what does that mean? Practically speaking, not a whole lot. It means that we're going to use it for the mitzvah. In theory, you can eat it. In theory, the person selling it to you has no right to sell it to you because it's hafker, because it's ownerless, and so therefore the person selling it to you is not gonna be able to sell it to you. Practically, the person selling it to you is going to be selling it to you. Okay, he's a whatever. Not now. ask me another time how exactly all this works. So, but there is. I'll tell you this. So it is interesting. There's another issue, and that is by Peir Shvi that any fruit and vegetables that grow during the Shemitah year. So there's another general issue, and that is that it has kedusha, it has sanctity, and it should only be consumed within Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to the other 6 years of the cycle of the Shemitah cycle. Exportation is perfectly legitimate. There's no problem with exporting fruits and vegetables, but fruits and vegetables of the Shemitah year that have Kedusha should not be exported outside of Eretz Yisrael, which then only begs the question that this year there's going to be hundreds, thousands of Esrogim that are going to be leaving the confines of Eretz Yisrael to go outside so that people can fulfill the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. So you'll probably hear once or twice that as an option, if you want to, you can return to sender. In other words, you'll after Sukkot is over. So there's going to be an option to take your fruit in, to take your estrogam and send them back to Eretz Yisrael. And what do they do with it then? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, these are again. It gets a little bit complicated. I'm just raising some of the basic issues. Let's go back to our Gemara again. Our main objective today is to get through the Daf. Which is always our main objective. So here we go. We start today the story with an onion, and the onion grew during the Shemitah year, and v'natu b'shminis, and then they took the bulb, the onion bulb, and they put it in the ground during the eighth year. V'rabu gidulav, and as nature takes its course, so now new growth. And let's make this much more exciting. Let's even say that the new growth is more than the original. So what we have in a concept called bittul. In other words, I have an onion where ikaro, its root over here, meaning the original bulb, is coming from the Shemitah year, which means that it has Kedusha Shemitah, which means that it's subject to the rules and regulations as I kind of outlined for the last couple minutes. And then I then take it and put it in the ground during the eighth year. New growth takes place, and the new growth is more than the original. And so the question, v'hachi kami ba'ile, and the question, says the Gemara, goes like this: Gidulav heter v'ikaro iser. So how do we view this new growth? Is this new growth going to be considered heter, and the original is going to be considered aser? Now, mind you, by the way, in this particular question that the Gemara is raising, the original is not aser in the classic sense. It's not aser where we're not allowed to eat it. We are allowed to eat it, but aser just simply means it has the status of Shemitah fruit. And so the question is the new growth have that status, or is the new growth does not have that status? And kaven de rabu gidula mikara osan gidulan heter malana sa'isr. And so therefore, in this very basic question that we're asking, do we consider the new growth to be totally heter, meaning have a totally new status, and because the new growth is more than the original, so therefore we go to the concept of what's called bittul, is a nullification, olo, or no? Or do we not say that? Now, I understand what one side of the question is. What's the other side of the question? So here it's important. Let's take a look together at the Ran, where the Ran details and outlines what are the two sides of this question. So take a look, please, at the top of the Amud. Not the first Ran, actually, the second Ran. We're going to be starting with the V'rabu Gidulav al Ikaro. Okay. The Lav Ribuya Balachu Kamar, right, see where I am in the Ran, three lines down. Lav Ribuya Balachu Kamar, El Ribuya Shechayose Bam Bemidi de Asame Alma, Hayaba Kedelavata Asa Asar, Mi Begidula Misafkale, Igidule Hetamalanes Isarla. Okay, so first the Ran just simply basically outlines the question of the Gemara. Do we say that the new growth is going to nullify the original? Venerally. And here comes an important setup of the Ran in terms of understanding what exactly the question of the Gemara was. The Iker Sveika, what is the main doubt of the Gemara? Iamrina de Gidulan Kaven Shinimshachim Biyotim in Iker. So do we say as follows? Look, obviously the new growth is being generated by the original bulb. She ain't no kala, and remember, the question over here is specific to an onion because, again, the nature of the onion is that the bulb does not deteriorate. The old bulb is still there. Ihavalu ki ikar v'asiri, ihavalu keheter umalin es ha'iser. And so now, when I have new growth being generated from a seed that does not deteriorate, so the question, says Aran, is the following. Is that new growth basically going to be the same as the original? In other words, there's obviously the new growth is new. It's a new entity. But it's a new entity stemming from, in this case, when I say the word stemming from, I mean literally, stemming from something that is usser. So, and that usser doesn't go away, doesn't deteriorate. Not like a regular seed, where the regular seed now totally goes away, totally deteriorates, and creates a totally new entity. But in the case of an onion bulb, where the onion bulb is still extant, so here, are we going to say that any new growth that comes off of it is really going to take on the status of the original bulb? On the other hand, or you have a lukeheter, umal nasa iser, or no? Do we not say that? Do we say that the new growth is a panim chadashos? It's a totally new entity. Granted, it was generated from the bulb which was usser, but the new growth is considered exactly that. New growth, and therefore it's going to be have not the status of Shemitah, and as a result of that, as long as once it becomes the majority of the onion, so therefore now we're going to be talking in the context of Bittul.
Wait, question. One is that this is you're talking about Kediyeh, not, and this is a Chatzkila, but you're planting it. So how could that be a nullification?
Right. So generally speaking, that's an excellent question. Generally speaking, Eim Avan Nisla Chatzkila, one cannot create Bittul on an a priori sense, right? That's the general rule in the world of Bittul. Over here, it's funny. Okay, let me think more about that. Because here, I'm just speaking it out. Here, I'm not doing bittul in the sense where I'm actually right. I'm not introducing new into the old. I'm allowing nature to take its course, and nature creates the new growth. Granted, I had to plant in the ground to do that. Okay, good. The question is excellent.
Great question. Just the bittul, the new growth, right, is not something that suddenly overwhelms the original growth. It comes in increments.
Right.
So if it's coming in increments, it's still beatable by the original thing. So each increment is already
right.
By the original size of the onion.
Right. Okay.
So
good.
It should never.
Right. It's a, right. It's a principle that the Gemara refers to as kama kama batel. That right. Incrementally, what happens is when you have a drop come in, that right. drop becomes right. Right. Okay. Okay. Two really good points. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Ran goes on to say, "Uvidinhu the havelele mi bai gedula natsman sharu yasire." Now, the Ran says, "You know what? Really, if what I'm suggesting is the correct understanding of the Gemara, so you know, the Gemara didn't even have to introduce this question as a question of bittul. The Gemara could have really pinpointed the whole issue," says the Ran, "as the following: Is a new growth aser or is a new growth mutter?" Meaning that's really, according to the Ran, that's really what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara, the bittul is almost like a secondary issue. The real fundamental issue over here, says the Ran, is that when I have growth off of a seed, where the seed is still in existence, so the question now is this new growth going to have the same status as the seed? Or is the new growth going to be considered new growth and a totally new entity? So really, what the Gemara should be asking is the new growth usser or mutter? And the idea that the Gemara is couching it in a question of bittul is not really the fundamental issue. The Ran says, I know. Ran says, I know that's difficult. And so, miu ha behatalia. But the Ran points out, right, but really, the two questions are dependent on one another. The igidula heter malin es ha'iser pshita desharu v'ie malin pshita desire. So if the new growth is considered like the original, so then there's no bittul. If the new growth is new, meaning a totally new entity, then there will be bittul. The isharu hayumalin kach nirabeinai v'samach tira mashitz kekena lafarish kach. And the Ran says later on in this whole discussion, I'll be even more clear and more articulate in terms of what led me to this conclusion that this really is the fundamental issue that the Gemara is dealing with right now. And that is again a question of when I have new growth that comes off of a seed and the seed is still in existence, the real issue of the Gemara is. is this new growth considered the same status as the original, or is it considered panim chadashos? Is it considered a new entity? This is the question of the Gemara. Now again, the Gemara couches this question in the context of Shemitah and new growth off the onion bulb, but of the Shemitah year. But as we'll see, there are going to be many different permutations of this very question. Okay, so that's the question. Malna Sayyidzer Allah. Back to the Gemara right in the middle of the Amud. Asa Lakame de Rabbi Ami. So the matter comes in front of Rami Lohava Biyadeh, and Rabbi Ami literally didn't have it in his hand. Meaning, it's good. Good question. I don't know the answer. Also coming to Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha. So the question comes in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha. Pashalei Menada. So, and Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha says, I think this is the answer. And he generates the answer from the following. Amar Rabbi Chanina Trisa'a. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Basol Shul Truma. So here we go now with an attempt to start resolving the question. We start with an onion that was Truma. Shin'atu, where this onion was planted in the ground. So over here, we're talking about an onion that is not Shemitah, obviously. It's Truma, but again, it's the same basic issue. When an onion is Truma, that means that Trumas and Maisas were separated from onions. We're just focusing now on the Truma. So the Truma now belongs to the Kohen. Any non-Kohen who eats this onion is going to be subject to a penalty. Now, it happens to be, this is the part where I'm not totally clear on, it happens to be that the onion is only chayav in Trumas HaMaisos midrabanan, not min haTorah. We know that the only chiyuv of taking off Trumas HaMaisos is on fruit, and even on fruit, it's a machlokas rishonim. Rashi consistently throughout Shah says that it's only going on, only on grapes, olives, and the five grains. Then there's min haTorah, there's no obligation to take Truma off of any other fruit. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam is of the opinion that min haTorah there's an obligation to take Trumas HaMaisos on all fruit. But here we're talking about an onion. An onion is a vegetable. So according to everybody, there's only an obligation to take off Truma midrabanan. So what would exactly be the penalty? This is the part I'm not clear about. What exactly would be the penalty of a non-Kohen eating Truma of a vegetable? Okay. Huh?
Just like any other.
Right. I would guess Malchus Mardus. Not. In other words, if a non-Kohen ate Truma min haTorah, so then he'd be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim. It's a very, very serious punishment. So over here, okay.
So you really can't compare the two cases then.
Well, because one's a Daraisa and the other's a Darabanan. Yeah, okay. Once again, excellent point, but. Okay, again, the Gemara is just dealing with the concept. You're right. As I spelled out that this is the Rabbanan and the previous case is the Raisa, it's an excellent point. Okay. So if I have an onion of Truma that was planted in the ground and there was new growth and new growth exceeded the original, so mutter. So now it's going to be permitted. Oh, good. Now, as the Ron points out over here, when we say permitted, just keep in mind what are we saying? It's permitted, meaning if it's new growth, it's not totally permitted. Meaning it's now the new growth tevel, meaning it's still untithed. But the Ron points out it just simply means not truma. Meaning the original bulb was truma. When put in the ground, the original bulb is still truma. But any new growth that generates as a result of the old bulb is simply going to be not truma.
That's huh?
Right. In other words, then right. And the ratio of bittul by truma is 1 to 100. That point is excellent. But it's not. It's just simply not truma. For example, the Ron points out. We know that the halach is that if you're out in the field and you want to snack a little bit, and the fruit and vegetables out in the field, so you have every right to do so. You could take a fruit. You could take a vegetable. You could snack outside on the field. And you don't have to take out Trumas HaMaisos. However, if the new growth had the status of the original bulb, so in this particular onion, obviously you would not be able to do that, because then the new growth is considered Truma. Okay, so what we see over here is that it sounds pretty clear that from this statement that new growth is not considered the same as the original bulb, but rather the new growth is considered a new entity. So Rabbi Yannai says, based on this, it seems pretty clear that we can resolve our original question. The original question was that in the case where I take the onion of Shemitah, put it in the ground, allow it to have new growth, the new growth exceeds the original bulb. So the question was, bittul or no bittul? And again, according to the Ran, the real question is, what's the status of the new growth? Sounds like status of the new growth is it's a new entity. That's what it sounds like. Amale Rabbi Yirmiyah Vitamer Abzrika Shavik Martrain Vaavik Kechad. So Rabbi Yannai gets reprimanded because Rabbi Yirmiyah says to him, and some say it's Rabbi Zrika, that what you did is you left one. You went in favor of one over that of two. Meaning, there are going to be two other statements where it seems pretty clear from these two other statements that as long as the original is in existence, any new growth is going to have the same status as the original. So, man in a train. So, the Gemara says, what exactly are examples of these two other halachas, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan? So, the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yalda Shesivcha Bezekena. So, let's say I have a young tree where I graft it onto an old one. Young, old, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about the issue of Arla. So the Ran points out, see the Ran inside, Yalda Shesivcha Bezekena, Yalda Shelo Avra Lav Gimel Shanim. So we know that any tree that has not gone through 3 years, the kitzitz over here, kevab and atia zekena, and then I cut it and I graft it onto an old tree, sha'avar alav gimel shanim. So now I'm having a hybrid of an old tree and a new tree. New is aser, old is mutter. Uva peros she'ilu lo haya ba peros. I'm reading beperek mashoch mechamad, the alder shesivcha is kena batela. And by the way, the Ran points out that in order for this question to be relevant, the new has to have fruit on it. Okay, the Gemara is the Gemara in Sota. Anyway,
what about the case of a
cat? Just one second. Let's just deal with the case on hand. So yalda shesivcha bezekena. So if I take a new tree and graft it onto an old tree, ubat peros and fruit grow, alfa pisho sifa masayim. And even though the new growth exceeds by 200. Okay, again, just more information that we need to know to appreciate and understand the Gemara. When we talk about bittul, so generally speaking, bittul, all you need is a majority for bittul to occur. In the case of Truma, as Ben pointed out earlier, you need a ratio of 100 to 1 in order for there to be bittul. In the case of Arla, so you need a ratio of 200 to 1 in order for there to be bittul. Various sources, you're not going to find this in the Torah, various sources why that should be, that you need a ratio of 200 to 1, but just for now, suffice to know that in order for bittul to occur, you need 200 to 1. And that's exactly the point that the Rav Yochanan is making. Even if I have new growth, and even if the new growth exceeds the original by ratio of 200 to 1, still it's going to be prohibited, it's going to be aser. Why? Because everything really originates from the Isser, and since the new growth is a generation of is being generated from that which is prohibited, so the new growth is going to be prohibited. So that is one statement that tells you that any new growth coming off an existent root is going to be prohibited. Second statement, let's say I have an onion that was planted in a vineyard. In other words, now we're talking about kalayim. If I have a right, I have a mixture. I have a nekar hakerim. And even though I uprooted the vineyard, so then it's going to be prohibited. And despite the fact that the vineyard has been taken away, but still, once there was a mixture of the two, and once I have more growth growing on the onion, even after the vineyard has been taken away, but still, all that new growth is being founded, grounded in that which is prohibited. So all the new growth is going to be prohibited. So right now we're going to pause. We're going to leave it off right here. And tomorrow we're going to pick it up on this discussion. So really the Gemara is having a very fundamental issue in terms of how do we look at new growth. But mind you, by the way, we're talking about new growth off of a seed that's still in existence. A seed that's still in existence, a vine that's still in existence. right? But in other words, if the original is still in existence and I have new growth being generated on that, how do we view that new growth? The two options are panim chadash, if it's a totally new entity, or it is a being generated by that which is aser, so that which it produces is also going to be aser as well. So right now we have conflicting reports. One report is, the question was asked, and the answer is, we have different halachas, which seem to be siding in different directions. We have one halacha, just quickly to review, we have one halacha of the of the truma onion that was planted in the ground. Any new growth is going to be permitted. That would indicate that new growth is going to be permitted. But meanwhile, we have the case of the grafting of the tree that was under 3 years of age being grafted with a older tree, and we said that any growth that comes off of that is going to be prohibited. And we have the case of the kalayim, where even after the vineyard has been removed, any new growth is going to be prohibited because it's coming off of that which is aser. So right now we have conflicting reports. Tomorrow we're going to continue this discussion of this very fundamental issue. Now it comes off of our Mishnah because eventually, our Mishnah is going to seem to weigh in on this issue. That's why the Gemara brings it up right now. In the meantime, we'll pause over here, and tomorrow we will pick it up.